नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो टू डेज यू हैड नेक्टर सेशंस एंड वी होप देयर विल बी मोर इन द फ्यूचर। टिल देन प्लीज टॉलरेट मी फॉर सम टाइम। चैप्टर 10 इज डिपार्चर ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा फॉर द्वारका। सो दिस चैप्टर 10 इज लॉर्ड्स फेयरवेल पार्टी फ्रॉम हस्तिनापुर एंड चैप्टर 11 हिज रिसेप्शन पार्टी एट द्वारका। सो 10 एंड 11 वेरी वेरी स्वीट चैप्टर्स। लॉट ऑफ इमोशंस ऑफ द डिवोटीज इन्वॉल्व इन दिस टू चैप्टर्स। शौनका उवाच हत्वा सुरिक्त स्फृदाततायिनो युधिष्ठिरो धर्म भृतां वरिष्ठा सहानुजय प्रत्यावरुद्ध भोजना कथं प्रवृत्ता किम् अकारशित्तता।
Shaunak Muni asked, after killing his enemies who desired to usurp his rightful inheritance, how did the greatest of all religious men, Maharaj Yudhishthira, assisted by his brother, rule his subjects? Surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with the unrestricted consciousness.
Okay, so the last verse of chapter 9 says that the Pandavas ruled the kingdom with the agreement of Krishna, Vasudeva Anumodita. Right? So finally they got the kingdom and they ruled the kingdom with the agreement of Lord Krishna. So Shaunak Rishi is asking this question, that how did they engage themselves in ruling the kingdom? Katham Pravitta, how did they rule the kingdom? Right? So that is his question. Prabhupada is saying, the inquiry was important. This is the last line. The inquiry was important for Shaunak Rishi, who wanted to know about the behavior of Maharaj Yudhishthira when he was at ease to enjoy the kingdom. Right? Suta uvacha vamsham kurur vamshadavagni nirhritam samrohya jitva bhava bhavano hari. Niveshayitva nijaraja ishvaro nijaraja ishvaro yudhishthiram preetamana babuvaha.
Uddhava Goswami said, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the mentor of the world, become pleased after restoring Maharaj Yudhishthira in his own kingdom and after restoring the Kuru dynasty, which had been exhausted by the bomb of fire of anger.
Okay, so this verse answers the question, how did Yudhishthira Maharaj rule? They engaged in ruling kingdom for the pleasure of Krishna, which is indicated by the word Yudhishthiram Preetamana Bhuvaha. Lord was pleased. Right? So that was their intention. They ruled the kingdom for the pleasure of Krishna. So this verse also mentioned that how the Kuru dynasty was all destroyed. Just like there is a fire in the bamboo forest, right? Prabhupada says, the world is compared to a forest fire caused by a cohesion of bamboo bushes. Such a forest fire take place automatically. For bamboo's cohesion occurs without external cause. Right? There is a nice small pastime. Just remembered, Bhurijan Prabhu says, he would tell a story to the children in Japan, somewhere, Hong Kong, Japan, when he was there. He had told the story of Krishna's swallowing the forest fire, you know. Krishna swallowed the forest fire. Dava Nalpan. So one of the children, kids, had asked, but who caused the forest fire? So Bhurijan Prabhu said, next month Prabhupada will be coming, you can reserve this question and you can ask him. Right? So then Prabhupada had come and these children were there and Prabhupada spoke upon something, but one of the children raised his hand. Prabhupada said, yes. The children just asked, that kid just asked, who caused the forest fire? Who started the forest fire? And Prabhupada said, no one started the forest fire. It takes place automatically in this world. And so Prabhupada gave a philosophical reply to that. That how this material world is like a blazing forest fire. It's not that no one has started it. It just occurs automatically, as Prabhupada is saying here. Second line of the verb, but such a fire takes place automatically. For cohesion occurs without external cause. Similarly, in the material world, the wrath of those who want to lord it over material nature interacts, and fire of war takes place, exhausting the unwanted population. Such fires or wars take place, and the Lord has nothing to do with them. We discussed this point, right? Sometimes people say, oh, why the Lord is doing this? And so many natural calamities, people kill each other, mass killing, accident, earthquakes. But actually, the Lord is aloof from all this. It's all material nature punishes the living entities for their own misdoings. Right? So many times this word comes that Krishna is aloof from this material creation. He's absorbed in his transcendental pastimes. Right? But at the same time, he is not unaware and unconcerned about the conditioned souls. Right? So although Krishna is aloof and he is absorbed in his own ecstasy, at the same time he is not unaware and not unconcerned about the conditioned soul. Therefore, Prabhupada says that he comes here and he calls all the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Right? There is a small story that how there was one Muslim king. He used to always been enjoying sense gratification. So one of the mantris came and told, jahan pana, aapke rajya mein pani nahi hai, log pyaase mar rahe hain. There is a severe drought, akal pad gaya hai. To jahan pana kehne lage, logo ko phalo ka ras pilaya jaye, agar pani nahi hai to. He was so far removed from the reality, right, absorbed in sense gratification, he didn't know what is going on, you know, what does akal mean also, he didn't know. So therefore, but the point coming here is that although Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is aloof from this material creation, but is not unaware and unconcerned, right? Not like this, as I gave the example of this king who doesn't know what is happening, right? Far removed from the reality. Krishna is not like that. So Krishna is concerned, therefore out of his concern for the welfare of the living entities, he made the whole plan and established the righteous king. Right? We go to text 3. Nishamya bhishoktam atha achyutoktam प्रवित्त विज्ञान विदूत विभ्रमा शशाशगामिंद्र इवाजिताश्रया परिद्ध उपांताम अनुजानुवर्तिता
Maharaj Yudhishthira, after being enlightened by what was spoken by Bhishma Deva and Lord Krishna, the infallible, engaged himself in matters of perfect knowledge because all his misgivings were eradicated. Thus, he ruled over the earth and seas and was followed by his younger brothers.
Okay, so Nishamya Bhishuktam Ath Achyutuktam. Right, so after listening to what Bhishma spoke, Bhishma Uktam, and what Krishna spoke, right, Yudhishthira Maharaj, all the Vidhuta Vibhrama, all his misgivings were gone. And he ruled the kingdom, Shasham Gam Indra Ivajita Shreya. And he was followed by his younger brothers, or assisted by his younger brothers, right? Anujanu Vartita. So Prabhupada says the modern English law of primogeniture, or the law of inheritance by the firstborn, was also prevalent in those days, right? The elder son get the inheritance. So then Prabhupada continues, the demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna and Vayu are representative kings of different planets of the universe. And similarly, Maharaj Yudhishthira was also one of them, ruling over the kingdom of earth, right? So Maharaj Yudhishthira is being counted amongst these people, right? Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna. Vishwanath Thakur says, Maharaj Yudhishthira ruled under the shelter of Krishna, just as Indra rules over heaven under the shelter of Upendra. Shashash Gam Indra Iv Ajit Ashraya. Right? See the third line. How just like the Indra rules, right, guided by under the shelter of Upendra. Right? Therefore, the Ajit Ashraya refers to Upendra in the case of Indra. And Maharaj Yudhishthira ruled just like Indra rules under the shelter of Upendra, right, who is his younger brother. Anujan Vartita means followed by younger brother, right? In the case of Maharaj Yudhishthira, it is the Pandavas, and in the case of Indra, it is implied that he followed his younger brother. Anujan Vartita. So then Prabhupada says, whenever there is a chance, Prabhupada gives a punch line to the modern politicians, Democrats. Maharaj Yudhishthira was not typically unenlightened political leader of modern democracy. The modern, this is now the second paragraph, the modern elected executive head of a state is just like a puppet, because he has no kingly power. Even if he is enlightened like Maharaj Yudhishthira, he cannot do anything out of his own goodwill due to his constitutional position. Right? Prabhupada says he doesn't have the full power, you know. The state will make its own law. He can't dictate everything. You know, so there are many ministers and many other people. So his hands are not totally free, he doesn't have full power. Even with enlightened, he can't actually act the way Maharaj Yudhishthira acted and ruled. Right? Prabhupada continues in the middle of the purport, middle of the second paragraph. An imperfect human being cannot create an ideology acceptable to everyone. Only the perfect and infallible can create a program which is applicable at every place and can be followed by all in the world. It is the person who rules and not the impersonal government. Right? Prabhupada is giving good political knowledge also of the scriptures. He's saying it is the person who rules and not the impersonal government. If the person is perfect, the government is perfect. If the person is a fool, the government is a fool's paradise. Right? So you will see that, because here this series of verses mention Maharaj Yudhishthira's governance, Prabhupada keeps talking about the fallacies of Kali Yuga government, right, the modern democracy. It will come in number of purposes. Guru text 4. Kamam varsha parjanya sarva kama duga mahi sichishu sma brajan gava payasa odasvatir muda.
During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk.
Okay, so this is a beautiful purport in which again Prabhupada talks about that how when there is good governance, then there are ample natural resources, right? The rains are good, the earth produces all necessities, and the cows gives ample milk, like that. So the basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. Right, in sixth line of the purport, rainfall are not in the control of human being. Right? And then Prabhupada says in the 10th or 11th line of the purport, not only do regulated rains help ample production of grains and fruit, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Right? This is good information. You know, the stones and pearls are produced when there is a proper astronomical time and the rain is there, they are produced. Okay, so now, yes. Yeah. Text second you are referring?
Text 3, I think.
Okay.
Text 3. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks of the bamboo fire, and the Lord has nothing to do with the wars between two classes of men.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in the very next section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the Lord coming to this world, establishing his representative, and killing all those unwanted persons who have nothing to do with his plan. So on the one hand, the Lord has nothing to do with it, but on the other hand, it's the Lord's plan to do this. It seemed to be mutually contradictory.
Yeah. See, nothing to do with it that the Lord can't be given the responsibility. Right? In general, Prabhupada talks of, first of all, that in this world we see so many rulers, right? There is a clash of their, the exact word Prabhupada uses, the wrath of those who want to lord it over material nature interacts. So the wrath of the lords, you know, there are so many people who want to lord over, and it interacts, and there is fire, and they all, that means war, and people die. And so many wars has been taking place since time immemorial, right? It's due to their own, right? It's the responsibility is their own. Right? It just happens that this is the material world that way. So Krishna is aloof in that sense. Right? It's not that he plans it or he that way. But Mahabharata war, of course, where the Pandavas are involved, this is a different war. Prabhupada here is talking of the general situation in this material world where the wrath of the two lords, and people kill each other so many times, you know. That kind of war Prabhupada is referring. But not this one. This Mahabharata war is the plan of the Lord, right? Because he wants to establish the righteous. Here the Pandavas didn't want the war, you know. It cannot be compared to the wrath of the two lords colliding each other.
So right? I mean in this particular case, I mean especially I think it's also mentioned that all the demons of the world had been collected together by the Lord and placed in one place.
Yeah, so this Mahabharata was the plan of the Lord. Right? But then again, due to their own lordly nature, they all are being destroyed. Right? So the responsibility goes to them also, that way.
It's
in the Mahabharata war also, it's their, yeah.
Okay.
It's their own desire to lord it over their own karma. Right? So they are destroyed by their own ill wishes.
Okay.
Right? So like that. But in general, when Prabhupada is talking of the first situation, in the material world, the wrath of those, it's so many different wars takes place.
Just people's karma.
Yeah, people they just fight with each other, kill each other. First world war, second world war, all those wars.
Could we also use this to explain why, for instance, in India, many people especially criticize the Lord for his partiality towards Ekalavya or Karna, for instance. But can we say that, for instance, when Karna was on the ground, he was killed by his own sins. He was destined to die being on the ground because he had been cursed that way. And he was just being given his own sin. The Lord had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that can be said. Yeah. Right. He is responsible for that. Right. But it's the arrangement of the Lord that how the reactions come back to the living entities. Right. It's the arrangement of the Lord also, but he is not directly responsible.
I guess in Karna's case, because he had killed the cow, so therefore he was himself subject to the same type of killing. But
the Karna himself was on the side of a dharma and he did many
atrocious.
Many irreligious or adharmic things he himself did. So therefore he was killed by his own adharma that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then the specific function of the Lord in that interaction was the Lord's mercy on Karna, that he put himself before Karna as Karna was dying. So then Karna was liberated. I mean, can we use these two arguments to convince the person that the Lord was actually not adharmic in telling Arjuna to kill Karna?
Well, I have to just see the details of the Karna situation. I have not contemplated upon it or for quite some time. You know, it's all is a matter of dharma. You know, this Mahabharata talks of very subtle understanding of where is he committed the mistake, and then all these things are there. You know, so there is one nice lecture of in Sunday feast he gave. Govind Prabhu, even Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Right, he Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has on website also many lectures where he discusses from all viewpoints the life of Karna and other many warriors. It's a series of so we'll have to see in detail. You know that there are many subtleties involved in each of these. Right? There is nothing like black and white. There are many grey areas. You know, so it has to be looked at very so that way. So we won't be able to kind of in detail discuss that. And I have not even contemplated upon the Karna and seen from different points of view. So can't immediately say also anything.
Just an example, but yeah. I mean, here to specifically refer to the Lord's not being involved in the karma, but being involved in the liberation of the Jiva in some way or the other.
Yeah, he's concerned, as we said. See, he's aloof, but at the same time, he's connected. It's both the things. So we have to see that how he is aloof from it, right? That he is not directly affected by any of the workings of the material world, right? And he is not responsible, therefore he is aloof. He is not responsible for it. Although he has created the material world, but then the responsibility of the various the calamities and the wars and the all the things, various miseries which takes place, the Lord is aloof because he is not responsible for that. And also he doesn't directly gives that. It is given by material energy. You know, as a simple example, that just a government is there and the jailer is there and the prisoners are there. Right? Now the jailer sometime may give a lot of atrocious punishment to the prisoners because they misbehaved. You know? So he may give them a serious punishment. So now the government is aloof from all that. You know, government has given the charge to be rectified for the prisoners to be rectified, and there is a prison in charge. And he is giving the punishment. It's not like directly order came from the government, you know. And so the government in one sense aloof now. You know? But then it's one of the departments of the government. Right? So then at times the government is concerned also. Right? So but it's aloof from all the activities of the conditioned soul which are performed and all the suffering which they suffer due to their own karma. So as when we say is aloof, then how is it aloof? Right? And how it is concerned also. So the Lord is connected with this because it's his own energy. Right? He cannot be completely aloof because he is there with all the living entities within the heart, you know. He is there in every atom, so therefore, but still he is aloof also. Aloof in the sense he is personal, in his personal form, he is there in the spiritual world. He is absorbed in his various pastimes with the devotees. So that's how he is aloof also. So both the things are there. Fine? Okay, so this is an important purport, text 4. Herein, Prabhupada, he actually implores all intelligent men to think deeply about the answers to four questions that he raises in the first paragraph. Okay? So if you see the last sixth or seventh line, Prabhupada says, if there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruits, enough cotton, enough silk and enough jewels, then why do the people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? So Prabhupada is imploring the intelligence of all people that please think about it, answer this question. Prabhupada is asking the question now. What is the need of all this? What is the need of an artificial, luxurious life of cinemas, cars, radio, flesh and hotels? The second question Prabhupada raises. Third, has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man? This is the fourth question Prabhupada raises. Right? He is asking the answer to this question. Prabhupada continues the same mood. Right? He is trying to kind of shake the whole human civilization from its slumber, you know. And he is asking these questions, right, very strongly. And he asks 9 more questions in the second paragraph. Right? All this Prabhupada is asking. It is a unique purport. Okay? Yeah, will you read the second paragraph? You have the microphone? Yeah, read the second paragraph. It is said here that, the second paragraph, you can't see? It is said here that, okay.
It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with the milk because their milk bags were fatty and animals were joyful.
No, the first question.
Do they not require therefore proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with a sufficient quantity of grass in the field? Why should men kill cows for their selfish purposes?
Second question. Why should men kill cows for selfish purposes? Third.
Why should men not be satisfied with the grains, fruits and milk, which combined together can produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes?
Right, so Prabhupada is saying thousands of palatable dishes can come from milk and grain. Why should man not be satisfied? Fourth question.
Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals?
Fifth.
Maharaj Parikshit.
No. Fifth goes from then, should not a king, skip 4 or 5 lines. Should not a king, okay, should, I'll read now.
Should not a king or executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves?
Sixth question.
Is this humanity?
Seventh.
Are not the animals of a country citizens also?
Eighth.
Then why are they allowed to be butchered in organized slaughterhouses?
Ninth.
Are these the signs of equality, fraternity and non-violence?
Okay, so in total Prabhupada raises 13 questions, right, in this one purport, right? And then Prabhupada says in the next third small paragraph, therefore, in contrast with the modern advanced civilized form of government, an autocracy like Maharaj Yudhishthir is by far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast vote for another less than animal man. Right? So again a strong punch Prabhupada gives. Right? And then Prabhupada says in the middle of the last fourth paragraph, the human being is the elder brother of all living beings. He is endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals. Right? For realizing the course of nature and the indications of Almighty Father. Why should a man behave in this way? If by the grace of the Lord there are enough ample resources, right? Why all this ghastly civilization which is not producing anything but simply, Prabhupada says, quarrel individually and nationally, right? Is not producing anything good, but only doing harm, like that. Right? Very important. As I said, all this, Prabhupada is talking about the good governance, and if there is a ruler is good, then there will be all natural things will be nice, natural resources. And why does the population need to do all this ghastly killing? Okay, we go to text 5. नद्यासमुद्रागिरया सवनस्पतिवीरुदा फलन्तियोषधया सर्वा कामाम् अन्वरितु तस्य वै.
The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers and active drugs in every season pay their tax quota to the king in profusion.
So again very nice verse that the rivers, hills, oceans, mountains, creepers, they all paid their tax quota to the king in profusion by yielding their products sufficiently. Even they paid the tax to the king who was ruling. Right? Because they all were proposing that is everything the property of the Lord. Right? And the king is the representative of the Lord, Supreme Lord. Therefore, they all were happy by his governance and they all came and paid their due taxes. Okay. And Prabhupada says, but today's slogan is that everything is for the people and government is for the people and it's by the people. But actually, he's saying there's a need that everything is actually given by the God. Right? It should be used for his pleasure. If that is there, and then actually people will be automatically satisfied. Okay? For the people, of the people, no, by the people, there is a such one used to read, no, government, by the people, for the people, of the people, this kind of, right? Remember the political science kind of used to teach. Prabhupada says actually it should be, the Krishna should be the center, not the people actually. But people will be automatically satisfied if they are God conscious. And then lastly, in the last line of the purport, Prabhupada says, we must look into the defects of modern civilization by comparison here. Right? That's what he's doing in the last number of purports. He's comparing and looking at the defect of modern civilization. And should follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Yudhishthir to cleanse man and wipe out anachronisms. Text 6. नद्यो व्याधया क्लेशा दैवभूतात्महेतवा अजातशत्रवा अभवन् जन्तूनां राज्ञिकर् चेत्.
Because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, disease or excessive heat or cold.
Nadyo vyadhaya klesha. Right? There were no anxieties, diseases and troubles due to Deva, Bhut and Atma. These are threefold miseries. Deva is natural calamities, Bhut is our living entities, Atma means one's own body and mind, right? So Deva, there were no anxieties on troubles due to these three reasons, Deva, Bhut, Atma, Hetva. Right? Because the king was Ajata Shatrava. He had no enemies. Right? If the king has enemies, then there is always a chance of, you know, basically no enemies means that he didn't create any enemies. Right? We create enemies and friends basically in the mind. Right? But he saw every living entity as equal as the children of Supreme Lord, and he gave protection to everyone. Right? So because of his being related, having this samadrisha, right, this kind of vision, where his ajat shatrava, I didn't create any enemies, right? Now, doesn't mean that others may not consider him enemy. There may be king who may consider Yudhishthira Maharaj as an enemy. That's a different case. But he never considered anyone to be the enemy. Right? He considered everyone to be Amsha, the Supreme Lord. So because of this kind of king's qualities, there were no anxieties and problems in his kingdom for the citizens. And Prabhupada says, to be non-violent to human beings and to be killer or enemy of poor animals is Saturn's philosophy. Right? This word Saturn is very common in the Western theology, you know. It is a work of the Saturn. So Prabhupada is using that that language. Okay, this is now the last fifth or sixth line. Unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. This conscious cooperation between man and God and man and nature, as exemplified by King Yudhishthira, can bring about happiness, peace and prosperity in the world. The attitude of exploiting one another, the custom of the day, will only bring misery. Right? So then all three are linked actually, God, man and nature. Right? If the man cooperates with the God, the nature will cooperate with the man. Right? Because the nature belongs to Krishna. So man need to cooperate with the plan of the Lord and the nature will cooperate. So this cooperation between the three will create prosperity, otherwise there will be simple misery. It's a nice point Prabhupada makes. Guru text 7. Ushitvahastinapure Masankatipayan Hari Suhridamcha Vishokaya Sususcha Priyakamaya.
Shri Hari, Lord Shri Krishna, resided at Hastinapur for a few months to pacify his relatives and please his own sister Subhadra.
Okay, so the Lord stayed. He was about to leave, but he stayed for a few more months, right? Because he was requested by Maharaj Yudhishthira, so he wanted to pacify all his relatives. And specially he wanted to pacify Subhadra. Lord's own sister had only one son, Abhimanyu, and he was killed in the battle. So just see how Lord's own sister became childless. She had only one son. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the pain of a mother whose young son has been killed and she has only one son, right? You can't imagine actually the kind of pain, you know, that the mother may go through when her when the child is killed before the mother dies. You can't imagine the pain. Right? Recently, my elder cousin sister, her young daughter died somehow mishap, and she was uncontrollable. You know, can't imagine the pain. You know, she was crying so bitterly, uncontrollable. It was a pain which can't be imagined, right? And the pain which can't be imagined. And she was saying that, why did the Lord do this, right? It's very painful for the parents to cremate the child. You know? It's very painful, actually. So many people, actually, this happens. This happens so many times in this world. Practically every day, even young people die, right? And then the question that Bhagwan ne humare saath kyun kiya aisa, right? Why did the Lord do this to us, right? First of all, we should ask here Lord's own sister, why did he do this to Subhadra first of all? Can you imagine? Lord's own real sister became childless when the Lord was present himself. What is the reason? Very difficult, you know. Therefore, Bhishma Dev said, Sarvam Kal Kritam Manne. But actually, Vishnu Thakur Giza, I just went to spend few minutes. Sarvam, this is all the Kal. And I also noticed so many people were consoling, telling, actually, ye samay aa gaya tha. You know, the Kal came. The samay aa gaya. No one can interfere with the movement. When the samay comes, no one can check it. Right? No one can either conceive the plan of the, right? And no one can counter. Right? Kab kya hoga? No one can guess. You know, people say, jab samay aa jata hai, toh, then no one can do anything. But samay aa gaya, ye kaal aa gaya. People talk everywhere. In the recently, I also noticed so many people were saying, this was kaal, the samay, this time aa gaya, aisa, no one can do anything. He said, why is Bhishmadev talking like common people, you know? Vishwanath Thakur raised this question. He said, this is the layman's understanding. Samay aa gaya. You know? But actually, see, for people within the three modes of material nature, who are trying to lord over material energy, this Kaal represents their own karma, right? So the Kaal brings the fruits of their own sown seeds. So that is the Kaal that brings. Kaal is synonymous with destiny, their own fate for all the conditioned living beings. But the Kaal which is being referred by Bhishma, the same Kaal, is actually the personal plan of the Lord. Right? So the personal plan of the Lord is inconceivable. Right? No one can understand the intentions of the Lord. Right? Even the great sages. Right? So basically no one can conceive about the plan of the Lord. No one can counter the plan of the Lord. Therefore Bhishma Dev says, you must cooperate with the plan of the Lord. Right? That nothing else is possible. Like that. Therefore we see here Subhadra became childless, you know, Lord's own sister. It's quite amazing. Right? Kaal is their own karma. Right? For his devotees, the Kaal is the personal will of the Lord. His personal plan. Yeah, for the devotees. So for because it's mentioned that Yushir Mahar is Dharma Sutta. Right? He said if he is Dharma Sutta, what is his dharma if he has still remaining karma? No? What kind of dharma is that? If he is following the dharma perfectly, there cannot be any karma then. So there is no karma for the Pandavas. That Kaal is the personal wish of the Lord, personal plan, which cannot be conceived. It's inconceivable, right? As I said, which cannot be countered also. No one can counter the plan of the Lord. So therefore, everyone is recommended to cooperate with the plan of the Lord. That is the key thing that comes over here. So here also we see his own sister became, and the Lord is consoling. He stayed back to console his sister. He participated in the Shok Sabha of Draupadi's, right? Draupadi's sons were murdered and the Lord was there in the Shok Sabha. You know? You say, what? Why are you part of in the Shok Sabha? Bring them back. you know? He had the power. But then the devotees are expected to cooperate with his plan. Right? We can't conceive. Only when it is revealed by the Lord, right, then we can understand. No one is so therefore kalein gabhir ramhasa. It is very very grave. The plan is very grave. It cannot be conceived by anybody practically. No learned person, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, no one can conceive the plan of the Lord. Right? It's very grave. Like that. Okay, so we go to text 8. आमंत्र्या चाभ्या चाभ्यनुज्ञाता चाभ्यनुज्ञात परिस्वज्याभिवाद्यतम आरुरुहो रथम कैश्चित् परिस्वक्तोभिवादिता.
Afterwards, when the Lord asked permission to depart and the king gave it, the Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhishthir by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot.
Okay, so Krishna asked permission from Yudhishthir Maharaj, he gave it, then he, being a younger brother, younger cousin, he touched the feet of Maharaj Yudhishthir and Maharaj Yudhishthir embraced him. Paul was saying in the middle of the purport, no one is greater than or equal to the Lord, but he takes pleasure in being treated as younger than his devotees. These are all transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot enter into the supernatural roles played by the devotees of the Lord. Okay? So these pastimes of the Lord, they can't be understood by the impersonalist. Right? Who cannot understand anything about the rasas, right? If there is no personality, where is the question of rasa? Right? The exchange of rasa tattva, which is the prayojan, as we say, sambandh abhide and prayojan. Prayojan mainly deals with rasa tattva. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita is prominently dealing with the rasa tattva. Right? So, but the impersonalists, because they deny the personality only, where is the question of their understanding anything about the rasa, which is only exchange between persons. So they have no entrance into the ultimate achievement, right? Ultimate perfection. Text 9 and 10. Subhadra Draupadi Kunti Virat Tanaya Tatha Gandhari Dhritarashtrascha Yusur Gautamo Yamo Virkodrascha Dhammyascha Striyo Matsya Sutadaya Nase Hire Vimohyanto Virham Sharangadhanvana.
At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yudsu, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhimsena, Dhaumya and Satyavali all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Lord Krishna.
Okay, so now Lord Krishna is about to leave and all the devotees mentioned here, it said, Na Sehire. They could not tolerate this imminent separation. So it is described that it is the nature of the pure devotees that separation from Krishna is most unbearable for them, even more than death of their relatives. If you see, this word is not used previously, that the Subhadra or Draupadi or Arjuna could not tolerate the death of their children. Na sehire. But here, it said they could not tolerate this separation. So strong is their bond with the Lord that they can bear the pain of death of their relatives but not separation from Krishna. That is the nature of pure devotees. Right? Sarvam Bhattacharya says this point when Mahaprabhu was leaving for Vrindavan. He says, Shire Vajra Pade Yadi Putra Mariyai Taha Sahito Mara Vicheda Sahanana Yai. He says, let a thunderbolt fall on my head or let my son die, I will tolerate it. But I can't tolerate being separated from you, my Lord. Sarvam Bhattacharya says. Right? Again, showing the same principle that for the devotees, the separation from Lord is very unbearable. Right? And the same principle applies to the separation from pure devotees of the Lord. Mahaprabhu had asked Ramanand Rai, Dukha Madhye Kona Dukha Hai Guru Tar. Among all the painful situations, which is the most painful? Then Ramanand Rai said that the most painful, that apart from the pain of separation from the devotees of the Lord, I don't see any other pain greater than that, he had replied. So this is the separation from the Lord or his pure devotees, right? Is the most painful. That is being described in this verse. Na sehire vimuhyanto virham sharanga dhanvana. This viraya was very unbearable for them. Right? So Prabhupada says, Lord Shri Krishna is so attractive for the living beings, especially for the devotees, that it is impossible for them to tolerate separation. Prabhupada continues, the feelings of such separation cannot be described, but it can simply be imagined by devotees only. Right? No words can describe. This Siddhant comes so many times. Said this feeling of separation, they just can't be described. Right? It just, they can only be imagined by devotees, those who have these feelings. Right? They can only feel it and then understand it. Right? The words cannot describe it. And Prabhupada says the separation of Radharani in the middle of this. The separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Right? This is the attitude of pure devotees. Okay, there is another important point. If you see in this verses, the name of Yudhishthir and Arjuna doesn't come. Those who are feeling separation. The Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, right, Virat Atanya, who is Uttara, Gandhari is there, Dhritarashtra is there, Yusu, the son of Dhritarashtra by a Vaishya wife, and there is Kripacharya and the twin brother Yamau, right? So the names, all these names are mentioned, but Arjuna then Yudhishthira Maharaj's name is not mentioned. We say, were they not feeling separation? What do you say? Or, you know, how many names can be mentioned? Okay, that's a good guess. That's 50% correct. Arjuna was going. Yudhishthira Maharaj told. The Acharya explained that Yudhishthira Maharaj said, Arjuna, he sent Arjuna that you go. No, and so there may be danger. The battle has just been, you know, over, and there are inimical sons of the kings who had been killed. Someone may attack. So Yudhishthira Maharaj sent one Akshauhini division and Arjuna also along with Krishna. So Arjuna was going. His name is not mentioned because how will he feel separation? 50% answered. Yudhishthira Maharaj was not going. Why was he not feeling separation? What do you say? Try to guess. To console others. It's also a good guess. No, but still he is going. Lord is going. Very good, the right answer. Right? It's a duty bond, that one of the duties is to console others also maybe, but then may not be such consolation may not be required, but duty bound. He had to make all the arrangements for Krishna's safe and comfortable journey. And he was overseeing that one Akshani division is ready or not to go with Krishna, and all the journey is comfortable, the chariot, everything is provided for Krishna or not. Right? So he's leaving. So Maharaj Yudhishthir is very busy in making all the arrangements. If he also, it's mentioned that they were almost falling unconscious. I mean, if Maharaj Yudhishthir also fall unconscious, who will look after that? You know, who will soon see that Krishna departs, you know, all the things are taken care of. It's an important thing actually. So Maharaj Yudhishthir was duty bound. As a part of duty, he had to check his emotions. It's mentioned that when Prabhupada departed, all the devotees were like this, crying, wailing. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was trying to now make all the arrangements for Prabhupada Samadhi. Right? He was not, he had to check his emotions, and he was not crying and wailing. Right? So there it's mentioned that how he broke only after all the Samadhi rites were performed for Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada had to be taken on a palanquin around Vrindavan, he had to be bathed and all. There's so many duties to be done, you know. We also, for the senior most person also just, you know, become unconscious and starts wailing, then who will do the duties? That's an important aspect being mentioned over here. And, right? So, therefore, they both are not mentioned in these verses. Go to text 11 and 12. सत्संगान मुक्त दुःसंगो हातुम नोत्सहते बुधा कीर्तिमानं यशो यस्य सकृद् आकर्ण्य रोचनम् तस्मिन् यस्तदीया पार्था सहिरन् विहरं कथम् दर्शन स्पर्श संलाप शयनासन भोजन.
The intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with the pure devotees have become freed from bad materialistic association, can never avoid the hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation, for they had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him.
So again, very beautifully it is described that how is it that they were unable to tolerate, right, Krishna's separation from Krishna. He said, an intelligent person who gives up all kind of bad association by having good association, right? One cannot give a bad association unless he actually have satsang. Duhusanga, right? Mukta duhusango. Satsangan mukta duhusango. This mukta duhusango is only possible when he actually takes good association. Otherwise one cannot give up the bad association. That person who has accepted good association, right? And he has become attached to the glories of Krishna, which are very pleasing to the ear and the heart, even if he has heard once and has become attached to it, he can't give it up. Right? Kirtimanam yusho yasya sakrid akanya rochanam. He has even heard once. Right? He had, within the heart he had, you know, people said, oh, that kirtan I remember, you know. Sometime even the people who are not core devotees, they said, oh, I went to the temple. That was such a nice kirtan. Even once person has heard, he becomes attracted toward Krishna. He said, what to talk of the Pandavas who were seeing him, touching him, darshana, sparsha, samlap, conversing with him, shayan, sleeping with him, asan, sitting with him, bhojana, eating with him. So even a remote contact with Krishna, right, or small contact with Krishna, makes a person attracted towards Krishna. So what to speak of Pandavas, right, who were so intimately connected with Krishna, right, so closely connected with Krishna, how can they give up their attachment for the Lord? when a person once who hears and chant, he can't give up hearing and chanting about him. He can't give up glorifying the Lord. It's a very beautiful verse. So, darshana sparsha samlap shayasana bhojane. So, the Pandavas had the opportunity. So person may say they became attached to the Lord, but the Lord is not there now. So how can one become attached to the Lord in the same way? Right? So that by these six activities, right, darshan, sparsh, samlap, shayan, asana, bhojana, one actually becomes attached. So in this world, whomever you see, the worldly people, they all sit with their relatives. You know, they see them daily, they touch them, they eat with them, sleep with them. So there is a strong attachment comes by these activities. So when these activities are performed in relation to Krishna, if you see in worshipping the deity, all the six activities take place. There is a darshan, there is a sparsh, there is a samlap, right? You can express yourself to the Lord and the Lord answers one's prayers. Then you can put the Lord to rest. Asan, bhojana, offer the, right, bhoga to the Lord and the Lord sends Mahaprasad back at the reciprocation. So, right. So if you see, when they are performed with the deity of the Lord, then the relation develops. No doubt about it. So those who does these activities, the deity form of the Lord, and similarly these activities should be done with the devotees. Right. So the ordinary materialistic people, they should not be seen also, right? Darshan. They should not be touched. They should not be conversed with. They should not be slept, one should not sleep in the same place, right? And asan, right? One should not sit in the same hotel or sector. Asan, one should not sit at the same place. And one should not eat with them, right? These activities are forbidden. One should not do these things with the materialistic people. It should be done with the devotees. And then in relation with the deities also. These six things, they develop attachment, right? These things help you develop attachment. Okay, so Prabhupada says in the purport, the living entity's constitutional position is one of serving a superior. He is obliged to serve by force the dictate of illusory material energy in different phases of sense gratification. Right? The release is only affected by association with pure devotees. Right? So first of all, he is released from his service to material energy in different phases of sense gratification. A very Prabhupada in the first canto, very profound statement, you know, he uses in the purport. And the release is affected by association of devotees. This is the sixth or seventh line of the purport. And then Prabhupada says, by association with pure devotees and by hearing them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment slackens and attraction for hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. Once they are, they will go on progressively without stoppage like a fire in gunpowder. It is said that the personality of Godhead is so transcendentally attractive that even those who are self-satisfied by self-realization and are factually liberated from all material bondage also become devotees of the Lord. Which is this verse. Atma Ramas Chamunyu. It is said that even those who are self-satisfied by self-realization and are factually liberated from material bondage also become devotees of the Lord. Atma Ramas Chamunyu Nirgrantha Pirukrame Kurvanti Haitukam Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Hari. So Prabhupada is quoting that verse over here. Right? So Lord is so attractive that he attracts all kind of people. Right? Then what to talk of the Pandavas who were so intimately related with him. That is the import of the verse. Guru text 13. Sarve te nimishay rakshas tam manu druta chetasa Mikshantah sneha sambaddha Vichalustatra tatraha
Hearts were melting for him on the part of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes and they moved hither and thither in perplexity.
Okay. Sarve te nimishair akshas without blinking, right? Sarve te animishai, without blinking they were looking at Krishna. Tam anu druta chetasa, druta means that dravit. Druta chetasa. There is a verse which Mahaprabhu says is essence of Bhagatam, right? Which has the word druta chitta, that when one's heart melt on hearing the holy name of Krishna, right? That is the perfection, that one's the melting of one's heart. So here the word druta is used, that how their hearts were melting. And Prabhupada says, all their hearts, translation says, were melting on the pot of attraction. Right? There is a pot, and their hearts are like butter soft, and it's melting in the pot of attraction. Where is the fire? Fire is fire of separation. Right? So there is a pot of affection, and their hearts are like butter, and there is a fire of separation, and their hearts are melting. Right? So, that's a good metaphor or a simile, you know. And Vikshanta Sneha Sambaddha, they were looking affectionately. And with unblinking eyes at the Lord, right? So, Prabhupada says, one begins establishing one's relationship with Krishna by hearing, right? And then he says, Prabhupada, in the middle of purport, once this relationship is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once become freed from the illusion of material energy and become mad after the association of the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by association with His name, fame, form and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. Regularly, Prabhupada is talking of Kirtamano Yisho Yashya Sakrid Akarne Rochanam also. That this kind of attraction which they are feeling, where the heart is melting, it begins by hearing about Krishna and then it just goes on developing as one goes on hearing from pure devotees. That is the point. Text 14. Nerundhan Udgalad Bashpam Otkantya Devaki Sute Nirite Agaran Nobhadram Iti Syad Bandhavastriyaha.
The female relatives whose eyes were flooded with the tears out of anxiety for Krishna came out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared the tears would cause misfortune at the time of departure.
Okay, another very beautiful verse. So, these ladies, because of their attachment to Krishna, their eyes were flooded with tears, right? Because of their attachment to Krishna, they tried to check their tears. And because of their attachment to Krishna, they could not check their tears. Right? It is a beautiful thing. Right? So their tears came out because of strong attachment to Krishna. But then that attachment also implies thinking of the welfare of the beloved. So thinking of Krishna's welfare, that they should not shed tears, you know, it causes inauspiciousness. They thought like that. So they try to, because of their attachment, they try to check their tears. But then the attachment was so strong that they could not check their tears. And therefore they just covered their eyes with kind of the edge of their garments. They tried to hide their tears with the edge of their garments. This is the various rasas are being pointed out, ultimately Bhagatam is talking, Pibad Bhagatam Ras Alayam, that O hearer, try to taste the rasa of Srimad Bhagatam. Right? This is the Ras Alayam, this is the ocean of rasa. Right? You try to develop your thirst, you know. Someone may say, Are first serve ke baad pata nahi, second serve milega ke nahi, you know, sometimes something there is a rasa, you know, there is amras. Sometimes we distribute amras in the kitchen. People first, even they before take the first glass, you know, they ask, second hai ke nahi aaj, you know, is there a second serve or not? Said, Bhagatam, second, third, fourth, what is your capacity? It is a rasa alayam, there is an unlimited rasa in Bhagatam. You go on drinking, you develop your appetite. He said, what is your appetite? Right? So there is no limitation in the stock. Right? Stock is unlimited. You drink, you develop your appetite for this rasa of Bhagatam. Right? So this a very beautiful, beautiful loving expressions of devotion to Krishna, right? Bhagatam is filled with. Go to text 15. Mridanka Shankha Bhiryascha Veena Panava Gomukha Dunduriyanaka Ghantadya Nedur Dundu Bhayastatha.
While the Lord was departing the palace of Hastinapur, different types of drums like the Mridanga, Dhola, Nagra, Dhunduri and Dhundubi, and flutes like the Gomukha and other instruments like Veenas and Bheris, all sounded together to show him honor.
Okay, so 10 kind of musical instruments were being played, as described over herein. So, now you may ask that here the ladies are crying and suddenly idhar baja ki badna shuru ho gaya, you know. It looks like here the ladies are weeping and crying, you know, so many kind of musical instruments are being played. Right? What's going on, you know? So actually Krishna is departing, Maharaj Yudhishthir is making all the arrangements, you remember. Right? So Krishna is departing and he wants to give a method, as we said that this chapter 10 is like a farewell party for Krishna, you know. Farewell, and then the chapter 11 is the reception party for Krishna in Dwarka. Both chapters, one is farewell in Hastinapur, another reception. This is the 10th and 11th chapter. So therefore Maharaj Yudhishthira is arranging that. You know, his duty is to give him a good send-off, no? Like a send-off is given to a royal person. You know. So there may be all this, their bhav is there, but then there is some royal custom, right? There are some royal duties to be executed. He has to give him a royal send-off. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is not crying and wailing. He is making all the arrangements for seeing, as I said, for seeing of Krishna, right? For his farewell in a royal way. Therefore, all these instruments are being sounded. Go to text 16. Prasada Shikara Aruda. Kuru Naryodhidrikshaya Varshu Kusume Krishnam Prema Vrida Smitekshana.
Out of a loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord.
Okay, so now Prabhupada is giving a very realized purpose, his own practical realization. Right? He says, shyness is a particular extra natural beauty of the fair sex. and it command respect from the opposite sex. It is only the less intelligent persons not well versed in the history of the world who say that observance of separation of male and female is an introduction of Mohammedan period in India. This incident from the Mahabharata period proves definitely that the ladies of the palace observed strict parda. Right? Parda is a Mohammedan word here. Restricted association with men, that is the meaning of parda. And instead of coming down in the open air where Lord Krishna and others were assembled, the ladies went to the palace top, right? She went to the top of the palace, and from there they paid their respect and they were showering flowers. Prabhupada continues after 2-3 lines. This shyness is a gift of nature to the fair sex, and it enhances their beauty and prestige. Even if they are of less important family or even if they are less attractive. Now Prabhupada is saying, we have practical experience of this fact. A sweeper woman commanded the respect of many respectable gentlemen simply by manifesting a lady's shyness. Half naked ladies in the street do not command any respect, but a shy sweeper's wife commands respect from all. So Prabhupada is giving, saying, we have a practical experience. So actually, if you see, Prabhupada has a practical experience of 75 years, you know, when he's writing this purport. So he enriches his purport with his first-hand experience, right? There are so many such places where Prabhupada gives the understanding of the Vedic culture or some Siddhanta, right, or some Rasatattva, with his own practical experience, right? Because he has 75 years of practical experience. And so here, at places Prabhupada quotes that. So this is something, taking that the ladies were feeling shy here, Prabhupada gives this additional insight, you know, in the context of the verse. Right? We go to... Okay, there is another small angle to this particular. You see, some of the ladies, it's mentioned that the ladies were crying, you know, their hearts were melting. And now it's mentioned, Prem Vrida Smith Ikshana, they were smiling at him. They went to the top and they were smiling at him. Said, what is, you know, again, there's a twist and a turn, you know, sometimes. So he said, actually, these were some other ladies. Right? So different, they were not so closely connected with Krishna. But now they were able to see Krishna, that they had heard about his glories, majesty. They are happy that Krishna has won the war and his devotees have been established. Right? So they are able to see Krishna, which was not so common. Right? They are happy about his victory. So therefore they are smiling. They have a different bhav. You know, those ladies were more intimately connected, who were aggrieved with the separation. And these ladies are also connected with Krishna, they are devotees, but have a different bhav of it. With other ladies who are smiling, not the same one. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that she even cursed the Lord herself. How can they have such emotions towards the Lord?
See, well, we can only say that at this point of time, right, when all the family members are there, they are also feeling Krishna being all attractive. They are also feeling a separation from Krishna. Their love may not be as intense as the others, right? But they were also, these feelings are also arising within them, right? Now we will have to see the there may be some more details, like if they had the feelings of remorse after that and all that, right? But it's mentioned here that now since the whole war was over and all that, so their hearts, which were also aggrieved, right? And when Krishna is going, right, they were also feeling separation from him, right? Like that. But may not be, as I said, that they may have that kind of intense devotion, but still Krishna is all attractive and they could also feel separation at this point of time. It's possible, looking at the circumstances, the war is over and everything, right? They are also have suffered many setbacks, maybe feeling the having the remorse, kind of that kind of understanding. Text 17. सितात पत्रम जग्राह मुक्तदाम विभूषितम रत्नदंडम गुडाकेश प्रिया प्रियातमस्यः.
At that time Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who is the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewel and was embroidered with lace and pearls.
Okay, so now Arjuna is holding the umbrella now, right? He wants to shade Krishna. Out of his affection, he wants to personally serve Lord in this way. It is mentioned that Ratna Dandam Gudakesha, this handle was not ordinary, you know, iron handle with some little rust here and there, you know, because it says Ratna Dandam. It's all studded with various kind of jewels. So, and Prabhupada just describes again the opulence of Vedic civilization, no? Where Prabhupada gets a chance, he describes it to make a contrast. Text 18. Uddhava Satyakischeva Vajane Paramadbhute Vikriyamana Kusume Reje Madhupati Pathi.
Uddhava and Satyaki began to fan the Lord with decorated fans, and the Lord, as the master of Madhu, seated on scattered flowers, commanded them along the rod.
Text 19. Ashruyanta Shisha Satya Tatra Tatra Dujerita Nana Nurupa Nanu Rupa Nurupasya Nirgunasya Gunatmana.
It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute, who was now playing the part of a human being.
Okay, so as is going, the Brahmanas are uttering benedictions, right? The Yusuf Maharaj has made all these arrangements. The Brahmanas are pronouncing various Ashisha, right? Various benediction. And interestingly, it's mentioned Na Anurupa and Anurupa. These benedictions were not befitting and they were befitting also. Right? They were, may you live happily, may you live long life. Right? These kind of benedictions were being uttered. Right? So, and it said these benedictions were not fitting Na Anurupa, but Anurupa is befitting also. Right? So therefore, one has to understand both ways, how they are not befitting and how they are befitting. Because Krishna is unlimited, you know. He can reconcile all various opposites within him. That's the whole thing actually, you know. Krishna is unlimited, so his unlimited expansion, so it may apply to, for one particular, it's maybe, part which is playing is fitting, another part is playing not fitting, right? So you would understand like this, right? Krishna is unlimited, where applies to what, right? So how it is, so if you see from material point of view, right, Krishna is a Kshatriya, right? And for him to accept the blessing from Brahmana is what? Befitting or not befitting? Befitting. Lord is playing, the Prabhupada saying, the Lord is playing the part of the human being, right? So therefore it's befitting to accept. Okay, but from spiritual point of view, these blessings are not befitting because he is the absolute truth beyond so-called happiness and distress, right? So to tell him that you may be happy, may you live long, he's aja, he's unborn. What is the question of live long? You know, the question of happiness is beyond all the happiness and distress. So from the spiritual point of view, they are not befitting, right? But from a higher spiritual point of view, they are again befitting. You know, what is that higher spiritual point of view? That yes, the Lord is always situated in the transcendental bliss, right? So Lord told them, yes, I will be always happy by your blessings, you know. That happiness is happiness of exchanging rasas with the devotees, right? So although he is beyond happiness and distress in his aishwarya, but in a higher spiritual sense, right? So one is from his majestic point of view. Other point is sweetness point of view, that is the higher spiritual dimension. Even the spiritual aspect, again they are befitting. Right? So therefore many times, what is usually in the material realm, the higher the spiritual sweetness, those same things are reflected there in the perfect form. Right? So many times we see that how just give you again example, is that people are drowning in this ocean of lamentation in this world, right? So the aim of the life is to cross this ocean of material birth and death. But ultimately the aim is to drown only, you know, what is in the material world. The ocean is different. One has to drown in the ocean of love for Krishna, you know. So what is true, the drowning is here also, you know. But that holds the truth there, but it's a totally different thing, right? So therefore, what applies many times, what is applicable to the material world, becomes applicable in a higher spiritual sense in the spiritual world also, that way. Right? So from his leela material world point of view, playing the role of Kshatriya is befitting. And from the higher spiritual rasa point of view, they're also befitting, right? But from the Aishwarya point of view, those who see the Lord as absolute truth, as Nirgunasya, therefore the two words apply, you know. They are not non-roop, they are not befitting because it is Nirgunasya. It is beyond happiness, this is. But then it is anuroop because it is Gunatmana, right? He is filled with transcendental qualities. So the qualities are seen in this material world, and Lord is Nirguna, right? The spiritual, there are no such qualities, therefore Nirguna. But in the higher sense, he is Gunatmana. The higher spiritual sense, he has all the transcendental qualities by which he relishes sweetness. Right, you see? So this is the gradation being described. Text 20. Anyonyam asit sanjalpa uttam shloka chetasam Kaurvendra Purastrinam Sarva Shruti Manohara.
Absorbed in the thoughts of transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas.
Okay, anyonyam asit sanjalpa. You know, there are many kinds of jalpas mentioned, the loving devotees. There is sanjalpa, parijalpa. There are many kinds of jalpas mentioned, the talks, right? Except prajalpa, which the conditioned soul indulge in. But there are many other kinds of talks. Right? So here, uttam shloka chetasam, their mind is attracted towards the Lord, right? And they began talking and it's now the prayers of this lady of Hastinapur. It's described Sarva Shruti Manohara. They are, Shruti refers to ears, right? So they are very attractive to the ears and the heart. Man karn tripta kare yar ek bindu. Many times comes that the ears and the heart, they are related, you know. Man, the karn and the man, they are very much related. So Sarva Shruti Manohara. So here also, these talks were very attractive and they were captivating to the ears and the heart, Shruti Manohara. Right, they are related. And another meaning of Shruti Manohara is that it even captivated the attention of the Shrutis personified, who glorify the Lord. And they also became rapt to hear what the ladies are saying. Right? So it's captivating the attention of the Shrutis also. Vishwanath Jagat Thakur describes. And Prabhupada gives the example that how anything sung in the praise of the Lord is Shruti Mantra. And he gives the example of Rottam Das Thakur. Rottam Das Thakur has given very glorification of Krishna in simple Bengali proverbs. Right? And Vishwanath Thakur has certified, Vishwanath Thakur is a great Sanskrit scholar, Rasacharya. He has said that these are as good as Vedic mantras. This is Rottam Das Thakur, glorification of Krishna, very simple Bengali. They are as good as Vedic mantras. Right? There is a small incident. Once a person came to Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He said, how can I obtain Krishna Prem? Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you can get Krishna Prem in one paisa. You know, one paisa. At that time, the book Prem Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur used to come in one paisa. He said, you buy this book, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, and read it. And read it over again. Right? And you will get love for Krishna. Right? By reading this book, understanding it, and right, imbibing it in your life. Right? So because these sweet verses of glorification are as good as Shruti mantras. So therefore, these ladies, although they are ladies, right? They are going to talk about Krishna or glorify Krishna in their own words, but they are Sarva Shruti Manohara. As good as Shruti mantras, they are captivating to even the Shrutis and to everyone's ears and mind. Right? Okay, so we'll continue after a break from 21 to 30. These 10 verses are exceptionally sweet glorification of Krishna by these ladies of Hastinapur. Right? Which we'll discuss after a break. Hare Krishna. Puratano. So he is the original Purusha. Ya ek asid avishesh atmani. Right? That there is no one avishesh, he is avishesh, no one can be compared to him. Agre guno bhyo. That he existed before the three modes of material nature were created, right? He existed alone, even before the creation of anything, he existed. Gre guno bhav jagad atmani ishvare nimilit atman nishi supta saktishu. And when nothing was there, then how did all this, before all these activities became, right, began, and now we're seeing all the jivas moving around, he's moving within us. Before all this manifested, before this whole creation, they were all merged, all these various energies, the creative elements, the jivas, right? They were all merged in him, nimilit, right? The word merge is used. So he said that actually the merging doesn't imply that here that they became one or lean, you know. He said that here the merging refers to that they were, their all their upadhis had merged, right? They were no, as will be described in the future verses, that all the various names and forms, there were, nothing was existing then. Those all had merged, right? But their identities are not merged. It's just their people are known by the various bodies and material name and all that upadhis, you know, in this world. That had merged. So Vishwanatha Thakur described that when this devastation takes place, right, everything is destroyed, but not the ignorance of the living entities. Because again, it continues when there is a next creation. Right? What is destroyed are just the name and the form which manifests in this world. Right? But the ignorance of the jiva is not destroyed. Right? Go to text 22. स एव भूयो निजवीर्यचोदितां सजीव मायां प्रकृतिं सुसृक्षतिं अनामरूपात्मनिरूप विदित समानो अनुससार शास्त्रकृत.
The personality of Godhead, again desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living entities, placed them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate.
Okay, so then he alone existed, they said, his Adi Purusha. Now, after describing the situation during devastation and before the creation, that everything was merged as if a person sleeps, you know. The just like, you know, in the evening you shut down office, you know, and nothing happens. Similarly, at night, you know, there is nothing happening. Everything is sleeping state within the Lord. And all his various energies, jivas, the time factor, they all go there and they sleep. There is nothing happening, you know. So after describing that, now they describe what happens when he begins to create, right? So then he impregnates or he invests his energy to prakriti, right? So jiva mayam prakritim sasikshatim. In order to give the names and form to the living entities, right, who are in a sleeping state within him, all the upadhis and they have been dissolved, right? In order to again give them the name, the Lord impregnates all of them into prakriti, right? So, it's another important thing mentioned here is he also manifests the Vedas along with the various names and forms of the living entities, right? The Vedas are also mentioned, Shastrakrit, right? And a simple example can be given. See, so the Supreme Lord, he creates this world, provides all the facility for conditioned soul to try to fulfill their desires, right? All the various facilities are provided by the Lord. They can eat, sleep, clothing, shelter, describes all the natural resources provided by him. But along with, there is various rules and regulations also. The Shastra is the word Shasan, you know. Well, then Prashasan, the word Prashasan is used. The government is also used for the Prashasan. So, government provides all the facilities, but it also has some rules and regulations to be followed, right? And any organization may be there, any ashram, you know. There is all facilities provided, but it's not that anyone can just sleep, eat and do whatever you want to like at any point of the day, you know. There's always some rules and regulations associated with it, right? So, therefore the Supreme Lord also gives various rules and regulations so that the purpose of this creation can be served out, right? For that purpose. So Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, last few lines, Vedic literatures are the guiding directions for the conditioned souls so they can get free from the repetition of creation and annihilation of the material world. Right? So if you see, you ask this lady, the simple lady, they are having quite a profound knowledge, you know, all describing that before the creation and all that, you know. So where from they are getting this knowledge? So it described that they actually Maharaj Yudhishthir, Narada Muni said Maharaj Yudhishthir kingdom was very much flourishing. So many great saintly person used to visit his kingdom often, and they would come and talk about Krishna, that he is the original personality, it is he who creates, right? But he has existed before that. He creates the scriptures also, right? So they are knowing the scriptures are created by the Lord. These three gunas have been put into motion by the Lord. He existed before them. So all this knowledge simple ladies are having just by their hearing from the great saintly person used to visit Maharaj Yudhishthir kingdom. Go to text 23. Sava ayam yat padamatra surayo jitendriya nirjita matsari jitendriya nirjita matari ishvana matri pashyanti bhaktya utkalitam amalatmana bhaktya utkalitamalatman nanvesha sattvam parimarshtum arhati.
Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses, and that is the only way to purify existence.
Okay, so these ladies are saying, while they are talking, this form of the Lord is, Vishwanatha Thakur says, they are pointing their finger also, you know, so this form of the Lord only become visible to those who are completely purified, right? And then saying, how fortunate we are able to see this form of the Lord, right? This form of the Lord, they are pointing towards the Lord while they are talking. So Krishna is, Vishwanatha Thakur says, mainly Krishna in his eternal form is perceived only by bhakti, right? They are saying that now this form of the Lord is actually visible to us, right? But actually with bhakti a person can see his form always. So those who purify themselves, right, they are able to always perceive this form of the Lord which we are seeing now, right? And Prabhupada says, as said in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be known in his real nature by dint of pure devotional service only. And then Prabhupada continues towards the little ahead of the second half of the purport. Devotional service necessitates purifying the senses or engaging them in the activities of devotional service. Devotional service is not inaction. Anything done in the service of the Lord becomes at once purified of its material nature. Right? Commenting on the word. So in the purport, Prabhupada comments on these two words. One is Pashyanti Bhaktya, the third line, how a person only can see the Lord with devotion, right? But before that, he has to control his senses, Jitendriya, right? So those who control their senses and are able to purify themselves from all material contamination, they can see this form of the Lord always, which we are seeing now. That is the import of this particular verse. Sava, text 24. Sava ayam sakhe anugit satkatho. Ayam sakhe vedeshu guyeshu cha guyavadibhi. Ya ek isho jagadatma lilaya. Sajatyavatya attina tatra sajjate.
Oh dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of the Vedic literatures by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected.
So they are saying, here is that personality of Godhead, right, while pointing towards Krishna, whose attractive and confidential pastime I described in the confidential part of Vedic literature. What is that confidential part of Vedic literature? Srimad Bhagavatam is the confidential part of Vedic literature. Right? The answer is there in front of all of you. Still you are thinking. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the part of Vedic literature being a Purana. And who is the confidential devotee? Sukhdev Goswami, right? Who spoke it. So such devotees who speak, those who have access to them, so they think that his glories are actually described in the confidential part of the Vedic literature. So Prupa says in the purport, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literature are glorifying the greatness of Lord Shri Krishna. Here it is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also. The Vedas are expanded by many branches and sub-branches by great devotees and empowered incarnation of the Lord like Vyas, Narada, Sukadeva, Goswami, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlad, Janak, Bali and Yamiraj. Right? People list all the 12 Mahajanas. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the confidential parts of his activities are described by the confidential devotee Sukadeva Goswami. So basically they are saying that confidential pastimes like becoming confidential pastimes of the Lord as he is displaying now, like he is becoming subservient to his own devotees, right? So confidential pastime as is being displayed now are revealed by confidential scriptures by the confidential devotees, and they are only also understood by the confidential devotees, right? So this confidential pastime described by the confidential scriptures by the confidential devotees and can be understood only by the confidential devotees. Go to text 25. यदा हि धर्मेन तमो दियो निपाः जीवन्ति तत्रैश हि सत्वता किलाः नत्ते भगं सत्यमृतं दयां यशो भवाय रूपाणि ददद्युगे युगे.
Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the true positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages.
Okay, so they are saying that this form, the Lord which is before us, right, he descends in this world when there is yadahi adharmena, when Prabhupada says when there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest mode of existence. At that time, this Lord whose form we are able to see now is very confidential. He descends at different time at different place and to different persons. Right? So that is being described now, that how the Lord descends, this form of the Lord, he comes very at various times, and he comes at various places and appears to reciprocate with various persons. Right? So Prabhupada says, as above mentioned, the cosmic creation is the property of the Supreme Lord. Right? The king or the administrator, this is now the around 10th line of the purport, the king or the administrator is the representative of the Lord to look after the management of the Lord's will. And so Prabhupada is saying basically the property belongs to Krishna, and if there is any prime minister or the king, he is only a estate manager. Right? He has to just manage the Lord's property well. He is not, he can't claim for himself. Right? But at times due to the influence of ignorance, modes of material nature, the lowest of the material modes, king and administrator, come into power without knowledge and responsibility. And such foolish administrators live like animals for the sake of their own personal interest. The result is that the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with anarchy and vicious elements. And Prabhupada describes nepotism, bribery, cheating, aggression, etc. Therefore, famine, epidemic, war and similar other disturbing features become prominent in human society. And the devotees of the Lord are also prosecuted. Right? So all these things happen. All these symptoms indicate the time of an incarnation of the Lord. So this particular verse, they are describing that this form appears at a time, at such a point when there is such kind of situation. Yada hai dharme na tamo dhiyo nipa. When all the kings influenced by mode of ignorance, they rule and they prosecute even the devotees. They usurp dasyu, prayeshu, rajeshu. They become plunderers. Right? At that time, my Lord, this form of the Lord descends. Ladies are describing. Right? And the Lord appears being endowed with six opulences, then they say in this verse, Dhatte bhagam satyam ritam dayam yasho. When he descends, he is endowed with bhagam, six opulences, satyam, truth. Right? Then ritam, pleading words, then mercy and good qualities. Right? Dayam yasho. In this way the Lord descends when the time comes, right? And Prabhupada elaborates that. So we go to text 26. Aho alam shlagyatamam yadokulam. Aho alam punyatamam madhurvanam. Yadesha pumsam rishabhashriyapatit sujanmana chankramane na janchati.
Oh, how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood.
Okay, so having described the place when the Lord descends, the time, right, when there is a dharma, the prominence or mode of ignorance. Now they are describing, Oho olam shagyatamam yudukulam, right, the recipient, he comes to in the yudukul. Oho olam punyatamam madhurvanam, very beautiful verse, right. And so the word oho expresses astonishment, and the word alam expresses disbelief. Oh, what kind of fortune, right? Shlaghyatamam, what kind of glory is due to Yadukul, where the Lord descends, right? And what kind of place, right? There is astonishment and there is a kind of disbelief, right? How can, you know, when you say that means Isa, and when you express some kind of disbelief, you want to superlative way you are describing the glory of that object or a person. So therefore, Oho Alam word is used. Oh, how can we understand the glory of Mathura? What kind of pious place Mathura is? At Punyatamam. So Shlagyatamam means supremely glorified. Punyatamam means supremely purified. So Yadukul is supremely glorified. Mathura is supremely purified where you appear. Right? So Prabhupada says in the purport, in the middle of it, liberation is obtainable after many births and after great endeavor in patience and perseverance in knowledge and renunciation. But simply by knowing in truth about the Lord's transcendental birth and activities, one can get liberation at once. Right? What is this verse? Chame divyam evam yuveti tattvata. Right? One who just understand. So it is not, it doesn't simply say that one who said, oh no, I know this verse, you know. The Lord's birth and activities are transcendental. Right? Will I get liberation? And so he said, but one who understands that, he surrenders to Krishna. The point, one who is understanding tattvata, Lord's birth and activities, right? He takes shelter of Krishna, is it not? Hunam janma namante gyanvan. Gyanvan, he is understood. Mam prabhadyate, he surrenders to me. Right? So basically, one who actually takes shelter of Krishna in devotional service, surrender to him, he attains liberation at once. So Prabhupada is saying then, he said, if simply by knowing the transcendental nature of the birth and activities of the Lord, one can get liberation, we can just imagine what is in store for those who actually enjoyed the company of the Lord in person, as a family member or as a neighbor. Therefore they are saying, Oho Alam Shlaghyatamam. Right? What kind of glory is due to the Yadukul, who are so intimately related? Just those who simply understand Krishna's birth and activities, right, by surrendering to him, they can attain liberation. Then how glorious are these Yadus, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura where the Lord appeared. Right? So they are glorifying the Lord, and they are glorifying the Lord's devotees, and they are glorifying the Lord Dham also, you know. So therefore these glories of the Lord are all related, right? They cannot be separated. Lord is always glorified in this way. Go to text 27. Aho bat swar yashashasti raskari kushasthali punya yashaskari bhuva pashyanti nityam yadanugraheshitam smitavalokam svapatim smayat praja.
Doubtly, it is wonderful that Dwarika has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and has enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dwarka are always seeing the soul of all living being Krishna in his loving features. He glances at them and favor them with sweet smiles.
Okay, so again very beautifully they are saying, so they glorified the Yadukul. They were describing that the Lord appears at a certain time and at a in a certain place, Mathura, to the certain people, right? Yadukul. So now after glorifying Mathura, which is Punyatamam, they are now glorifying Dwarka. Right? So what are they saying about Dwarka? Oh, but swar yashashastiraskari. Because Dwarka is there on the earth, therefore that it has defeated the glory of Swarga, Swar Yashas Tiraskari. द ग्लोरी ऑफ स्वर्ग विच इज स्वर यशस तिरस्करी उसका तिरस्कार कर दिया है मीन हैज बीन डिफीटेड सुपरसीडेड द ग्लोरी ऑफ द्वारका हैज सुपरसीडेड द स्वर्ग यश ऑल्सो द्वारका इज रेफर्ड हेयर एज कुशस्थली एंड दिस हैज एनहांस्ड पुण्य यशस्करी वन इज तिरस्करी ब्रिंग डाउन एंड पुण्य यशस्करी भुवा एंड अर्थ हैज बीन ग्लोरिफाइड राइट अर्थ ग्लोरी हैज बीन मैग्निफाइड द स्वर्ग ग्लोरी हैज बीन मिनिमाइज बाय लॉर्ड अपीयरिंग इन द्वारका इन कुशस्थली Now one may say actually Dwarka is Lord's abode and Swarga is within the material world. There is no comparison between the two. Dwarka is far superior, you know. Dwarka is far superior to to Swarga. There is no question of comparing the two. No, if you say that there is some great personality in this material world, right? Give any example of some great personality who is well known in this world. Give some example of some personality. Obama, right? Someone says Obama is a great personality, but the Lord is even greater than Obama. I said, what comparison? He is the master of, you know, unlimited universes and of the spiritual abodes. Obama is simply the small, tiny planet Earth, and that also, you know, on the that one country, and that too struggling economically and financially, and you know, so many things are there. You know, so what comparison? You know, it's a so they said what, Swarga? Swarga is within the material world, and Dwarka is Lord's own abode. What comparison they are giving? So he said, but this comparison is made in deference to the common. Notion, you know, people can't think beyond Swarga. Material world people may not think beyond Obama, you know, they don't know anything else. So, hey, the God is even greater than Obama, much greater, you know, kind of. So, for the common people, this understanding may be given. But otherwise, for those who are learned, for them, is that what? So, their people highly glorify Swarga, you know. Swarga Siddhar Gaye, Inka Swarga Vas Ho Gaya. So, Swarga they consider the highest destination. Common people, right? So they are saying Swarga has been minimized by Dwarka, right? So they are glorifying in reference to what the people can understand. But actually there is no comparison, right? So the great opulence of Dwarka is that anugraheshitam, they always receive the merciful glance of the Lord, right? So the merciful glance of the Lord is very powerful. As I said, that how one should always aspire to receive the merciful glance of the Lord. One should try to always, one should desire it, one should work for it, one should yearn for it, that how can I receive the merciful glance of Krishna, you know. There is always great, then one's devotional service flourishes abundantly by receiving the merciful glance of the Lord and even his pure devotees, right. So this residents of Dwarka are very fortunate, right? More fortunate than people in Swarga Loka because they always receive this merciful glance of the Lord, affectionate glance of the Lord, right? That these ladies are glorifying. Go to text 28. नूनं व्रतस्नानहुता दिनेश्वरा समर्चितो हि यस्य गृहीत पाणिभिः पिबन्ति यासख्य अदरमृतं मुहुः व्रजस्त्रियासं मुमुहुर्यदाशया
O friends, just think of his wives, whose hands he has accepted. How they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe, to constantly relish now the nectar from his lips by kissing. The damsel of Rajabhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors.
Okay, so it is being described that they are glorifying the queens in Dwarka, right? First they glorified all the residents in general, and Dwarka opulence better than Swarga. Now they are glorifying the queens of Dwarka. They are saying that how they are always drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips, Adharamritam. This Adharamritam is glorified in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu says this Adharamritam is available to all the devotees in the form of Lord's Mahaprasad. You know, he says this Mahaprasad is so tasty, we have tasted all the ingredients combined in various permutation combination, but none of can it give a taste like Mahaprasad of the Lord. The special taste, right? One needs a special spiritual qualification also to taste that the Lord's Adharamritam, the nectar of his lips, which is there in the Mahaprasad also for all the living entities, you know. So, but these residents of Dwarka, they taste constantly. They are saying, what kind of vrata, snan, right? What kind of huta, sacrifice, adina, all of these, right? What kind of, they have performed all of these activities that they have become so fortunate. Right? So they said that, let us, this beauty which is tasted by them, this form of the Lord, let us also, at this point of time, let us also drink the nectar of his beauty through our eyes. Right? We may not have performed this yajñas and the vows and the snans, right? But still we are having the fortune of drinking the nectar of his beauty through our eyes. But they are saying more fortunate than us are the queens. And then what is said, read what is said about the damsel of Rajbhumi. Damsel of Rajbhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors. Where is their position compared to the two? They would often faint just by expecting such favor. Where is their position compared to the two? Apparently lower because they are not getting. Okay. Anyone else? So he said that just by thinking of it they faint, and what happens to them when they actually get this nectar from the Lord, then we just can't even imagine. So therefore their position is higher. Just by thinking of it when they faint, no, then when they actually receive it, right, then what state they undergo, we just can't even imagine. That is being described. Text 29. Navirya shulke nahrita soyamvare. Pramathya chedya pramukhani shushmina. Pradyumna Shambham Vasutadayo Para Yascharita Bhoma Vadesa Hasrashat.
Children of these ladies are Pradyumna, Shambha, Amba, etc. Ladies like Rukmani, Satyabhama and Jambavati were forcibly taken away by him from their Swayamvar ceremonies after he defeated many powerful kings headed by Shishupal, and other ladies were also forcibly taken away by him after he killed Bhaumasur and thousands of his assistants. All of these ladies are glorious.
Okay, so after glorifying them, they are saying that how these ladies, Krishna, kidnapped number of them by paying the virya shulka. Shulka means the price, virya means valor. So by paying the price of valor, Krishna actually forcibly took them away. Okay? So the names of the queens are not mentioned. Prabhupada, although Prabhupada gives here, right? He just mentioned that bridegrooms in the Swayamvar, right? And but the names of their children are mentioned, you know. Pradyumna, Shambha, Amb, Sutadeo, Para, their children. The children names are mentioned. So if you map, then Pradyumna's mother is Rukmini, Shambha's mother is Jambavati, and Amba's mother is Nagnajiti actually. And Adaya refers to Satya Mama comes over therein. Right, so Vishwanath Thakur described that technically Virya Shulka Krishna paid for these three queens, right? Virya Shulka means he forcibly took them away by valor, right? He took Rukmini away by valor, then Jambavati also, Krishna fought with Jambavan, and then by that valor he was very impressed and he gave his daughter, and the Nagnajiti also, Krishna subdued those seven bulls, and her son was Amb. So Pradyumna, Sambha and Amb. So these three, the mothers of these three who were the queens, they were taken away forcibly by Krishna by praying the pious of valor. So they are remembering those activities of Krishna and devotees. And Prabhupada basically he describes that how there used to be swamvar for this princess. And very nicely Prabhupada writes, this is the 7th or 8th line, that he says that usually there would be always a quarrel in Swamvar, no? And the prince would fight in a sporting spirit. There would always be some fight. When there is Swamvar, there are all these rivals, princes or kings, they would come and they would fight in a sporting spirit. And sometimes they used to be kill each other also, as a matter of fact, you know. Just describes. And he says, so the person who is to be victorious, the victorious prince was offered the trophy princess. The victorious, this is the 7th or 8th line, you will see. The victorious prince was offered the trophy princess. So he would get a trophy, you know, the Mama princess. For whom so many princes die. Right? There will be many princes who would be killed also. And was it all a sport, you know, for Kshatriyas? He doesn't give much importance to that. And Prabhupada says, there were many queens which Krishna married in this way, right? By paying the virya shulka, he forcibly took away. And then he says, this is the middle of the purport. Again, very beautifully, Prabhupada writes, full description of this beautiful booty of Lord Krishna will be given in the 10th canto. Right? This booty which he, you know, collected by paying virya shulka, it will be given the full description of this beauty, beautiful booty of Lord Krishna, right? It's a very sweet expression. So text 30, the last glorification of Krishna by the women of Hastinapur.
एताparam स्त्रित्वम अपास्तपेशलम ताparam स्त्रित्वम अपास्तपे निरस्त शौचं बत साधु कुर्वते यासाम गृहात पुष्कर लोचनापतेर न जातु अपैते आहृतिर भृदि स्पृशन
All these women auspiciously glorified lives despite their being without individuality and without purity. The husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their heart by making valuable presentations.
Okay, so now lastly they are saying that all these women, the queens of कृष्णात् एता परम स्त्रित्वम अपास्त पेशलम दे हैड बिकम प्रोवाइड्स विदाउट इंडिविजुअलिटी अपास्त पेशलम हियर इंडिविजुअलिटी रेफर्स टू दैट दे हैड बिकम इन दे हैड लॉस्ट देयर इंडिपेंडेंस यू नो बिकॉज सोशली दे वर नॉट बी एक्सेप्टेबल व्हेन दे वर किडनैप्ड बाय नरकासुर सो हियर दैट मीन्स दे लॉस्ट देयर ऑल इंडिपेंडेंस अपास्त पेशलम एंड निरस्त शौचम राइट दे हैड लॉस्ट देयर प्यूरिटी एज वेल So the women who had lost their independence and purity would be not considered in society to be very, or they would be considered very low in society. But he is saying, Bat sadhu kurvate, they have become most glorified. These women have become most glorified because of the favor of Krishna upon them. Right? So somebody who would be otherwise socially very low, they have become very glorious because Krishna accepted them. Right? So so we have to see the person, whether he's a great or small, whether this person has received the favor of Krishna or not. Right? The South Indian Brahmana outside Sri Rangam, he was reciting Bhagavad Gita. He didn't do proper recitation, right? Ashuddha Pathan word is mentioned over there. Improper recitation. He was being laughed. He was being ridiculed, right? But Mahaprabhu recognized him, right? So we have to judge the greatness of a person in terms of how he has been recognized by Krishna. Not in that sense of the ordinary people. So they are saying that all of these queens, they have been accepted by Krishna. Therefore, they have become most glorious. Yes. Yeah. It is the glorification of Krishna. They had... It's their... What they had heard from the great sages and their affection for Krishna is coming out in this glorification. Right? Their mood of... Right? They immediately start glorifying the ladies who have received various favors from Krishna, right? They glorify the ladies of Dwarka, the ladies of Vrajbhumi are even greater. They have the Krishna mercy upon that, how they have received Krishna mercy and their aspiration to receive also such mercy, right? Kind of, you know, they also aspire that we can also receive such kind of favor. We are fortunate, but more fortunate are the ladies, right? So their mood of devotion is coming out in this glorification. They are not specifically a kind of prayers to made directly to the Lord, right? For some particular end, no. But it's there. They start glorifying out of affection the Lord, right? First they gave the Siddhanta which they had heard from the great sages. Then their own mood of devotion comes out. Basically, we have to look at their mood of devotion in this series of verses, right? Oh yeah. So they are all pure devotees. They have pure devotion for the Lord, right? Otherwise, their praise would not be included over here. In all pure devotees of the Lord, their mood of devotion is being reflected in this series of verses. That is the main thing. Yeah. That's their spontaneous attraction towards the Lord. Yeah, these women, they have attraction for the Lord in conjugal love. It's coming out, that mood is coming out in that. Right? But then they know the Lord Aishwarya also, right? So they have this attraction for the Lord in that. Okay, so we have read the translation? Yeah, so yeah, this verse we were discussing. That how... they have become glorious by being accepted by the Lord. Right? So Prabhupada is saying the devotees of the Lord are purified souls. As soon as the devotees surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord sincerely, the Lord accepts them. And thus the devotee at once become free from all material contamination. Right? And then second paragraph, the fallen girls under the clutches of Bhaumasura sincerely pray to Lord Krishna for their deliverance, and their sincerity of purpose made them at once pure by virtue of devotion. Very important line. The sincerity of their purpose made them at once pure by virtue of devotion. Okay. So now we'll be able to do fast. Their glorification ends now, and just then the Krishna's departure details are described. Evam vidha kadanti naam sagira purayoshitam narikshanena abhinandan sasmitena yayohari.
By the ladies of the capital Hastinapur were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord, smiling, accepted their good greetings and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city.
Okay, so the Lord just smiled, and with a smile he greeted their prayers. He acknowledged their prayers, and then he departs. Text 32. Ajat Shatru Pritnam Gopithaya Madhudisha Parebhya Shankita Snehat Prayungta Chaturanginim.
Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot and army, to accompany Lord Shri Krishna, the enemy of the Asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord.
Okay, so Yudhishthira Maharaj, he sends a military division with Krishna out of affection. Krishna doesn't need it. He is Madhudisha. Madhudisha word indicates he is capable of punishing his enemies, you know. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is thinking, oh, this battle of Kurukshetra just got over. There are so many enemies who will attack Krishna, right? But he is Madhudisha. He can take care of his enemies. But still out of affection, Maharaj Yudhishthira sends. And Krishna accepts to reciprocate the affection, right? Prabhupada very nicely says, the basic principle, this is the last 3-4 lines. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmanand. 33. Athadura Gatan Shauri Kauravan Virahaturan Sannivartya Dridham Snigdan Prayaso Nagarim Priyat.
Out of profound affection for Lord Krishna, the Pandavas, who were of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded towards Dwaraka with his dear companions.
Okay, so they followed him a long distance out of affection, but the Lord finally he persuaded with them to return. 34-35. Kuru Jangala Panchalan Surushenan Shayamunan Brahmavartum Kurukshetram Matsyan Sarasvatanathat Marudhanvanati Kramyat Savirabhirayo Praran Anartan Bhargavopagach.
Shantavahu Managvibhu.
O Shaunaka, the Lord, when proceeded towards Kuru Jungle, Panchala, Shurasena, the land on the bank of the river Yamuna, Brahmavarta, Kurukshetra, Matsya, Saraswata, the province of the desert and the land of scanty water. After crossing these provinces, he gradually reached the Shauvira and Abhira provinces, then west of these reached Dwarka at last.
Okay, so it is described where or through the Lord went, which all provinces he covered. So first of all, Prabhupada, he says the names have changed now, but Prabhupada gives some indication. It indicates that these are the provinces. But Prabhupada says that some scholar may say, no, these are not the provinces, right? This is not the exact province you are marking, but the name has changed now, right? Prabhupada gives the name of all the North Indian states, you know, Delhi, Punjab, Rajasthan, MP, Saurashtra, Gujarat, Lord came. Right? So some scholar may object to it. So Prabhupada then says very nicely, he said, we do not gain any profit simply by researching. See the fourth line. We do not gain any profit simply by researching the analogous provinces of those days up to now. But then he makes a point that it appears that the desert was existing, what is mentioned over here, that he passed through the desert and the province of scanty water. Province of desert and province of scanty water. But he said it appears that the desert of Rajasthan and province of scanty water like Madhya Pradesh were present even 5,000 years ago. So some geologists say they have recently developed, Prabhupada says, but Bhagavatam version doesn't say so. But he said, but still we don't want to argue about that. We don't want to conduct any research to find out the exact details. We are simply happy that the Lord has reached Dwarka. Very nicely, you know. See, this is very important point Prabhupada makes here. See, there are certain details which are very difficult to find out, but which doesn't matter so much also. So, certain details in Bhagavatam, you can know what has been explained by Prabhupada and Acharyas. But there are certain details which are very difficult to figure out. Very thorough research in various scriptures, still contradictory versions, you know. So Prabhupada says that then we should be happy with the conclusion. You know, what matters to us? Certain things actually doesn't directly matter in the terms of they don't affect our, they don't enhance. Even if you know the detail, they will not enhance your devotional service to Krishna. Whether you don't know the details or you know the details, it either way doesn't enhance your devotional service to Krishna. You can check out with that. So if details are easily available by reading something, you may know the detail, fine. But don't spend too much time to find out and thorough research into history, geography, this scripture, that scripture, you know. Prabhupada said that we don't want to do. So one should be careful in how much detail one wants to go, how much that detail matters to a person. If a person has some particular service designing the universal model, this and that, he may spend years and years, you know. But for others, he should be happy to know that Krishna created the material world, you know. That is also a dimension that Prabhupada is giving. So whatever detail are there, you may accept it. But certain details are very difficult in the matter of creation. The names have changed and there are different versions. To reconciling them is so difficult. Ramayana has one version of creation, Bhagavatam has another. Then there are others. Scripture which is give different within the Bhagavatam there are contradictory versions of creation, right? But the other scripture which give the version of creation differing, other Puranas, there are many differences of this, especially geography and history and, you know, all these things. So therefore Prabhupada here gives a very nice direction that we are happy, right? We don't want to spend time researching too much into that detail. We are happy that Krishna has reached Dwarka. Very nicely, you know. So this statement you always keep in mind, you know, when you are disturbed too much by the detail, then what are you going to take happiness in? Right? Are you going to stick to the detail or just bypass the detail and go back that we are happy in this particular now conclusion of it? You know? So it's important actually. Okay, the last verse. तत्र हरि प्रत्युद यतारहना शायं भेजे दिशं पश्चात् गविष्टो गाम गतस्तदा
On his journey through these provinces, he was welcomed, worshipped, and given various presentations. In the evening, in all places, the Lord suspended his journey to perform evening rites. This was regularly observed after sunset.
Okay, so finally, going through all the provinces, the Lord exchanged. There were various devotees in between. He exchanged. They are welcoming and he accepted their presentation, gave mercy to them. And finally it's mentioned that he reached Dwarka in the evening. Shayam bheje disham paschad gavishto gam gatasada. When the sun was entering the western ocean, that time the Lord reached Dwarka. Okay, and next chapter will be his Lord reception at Dwarka. जय ग्रंथरा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री कृष्ण भगवान की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे कृष्ण